This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is The Morning Run, and you're here with Lynn, Roshan and Noel. In about half an hour, we're going to be speaking about Sarawak's relationship with Perikatan Nasional with political commentator Professor James Chin of the University of Tasmania. We're also asking you on the BFM Twitter account, at BFM Radio, how has your company facilitated work from home for you? Let us know what you think over there. That's at BFM Radio. But in the meantime, let's take a look at international reserves. Because as part of Bank Negara Malaysia's annual report last week, there was an article detailing the role of international reserves, which the central bank controls.
Now, in simple terms, the foreign exchange reserves held by Bank Negara are meant to help the economy withstand large volatile capital outflows and preserve stability. And while Bank Negara says it does not use reserves to target specific ringgit exchange rate levels, it does maintain an orderly market conditions, in quotes there, and public confidence. So I guess, what is the relationship between the levels of foreign reserves and the ringgit, and what is the measure of where our reserves are sufficient?
For more on this, as well as for an outlook on the ringgit this year, we're speaking this morning with Khun Goh, Head of Asia Research at ANZ Bank. Thanks for joining us this morning. Now, help us draw the connection between international reserves and the ringgit. What's the correlation here?
Yeah, good morning to you. Typically, in terms of the relationship, when we see a currency strengthen, that tends to see an increase in the reserves. Now, that also depends on how much the central bank wants to intervene to absorb inflows going into the economy that's driving the ringgit higher. Typically, there tends to be a positive correlation between the two.
So is our international reserve sufficient, or would you say very healthy, given the current situation?
At the moment, Malaysia's reserves of $109 billion is around 30% of GDP. It's sufficient to cover 6.3 months of imports. Now, that's well above the widely accepted minimum range of 3 months. However, it is still somewhat on the low side if you account it against the way that IMF assesses reserve adequacy for emerging markets. I think for a much better buffer, I would say that Malaysia's reserves would probably need to get up to around $130 billion for it to be on a more sufficient buffer.
And what's driving the trends with regards to Malaysia's international reserves?
The main driver for the increase in Malaysia's reserves over the last 12 months has actually been positive valuation effects. Now, the reserves are not all held in US dollars. Central banks tend to diversify into euro, yen, and increasingly the Chinese yuan. So because of the weakness in the US dollar that we've seen, over the large part of the last 12 months, the value of the non-US dollar holdings, such as euro and particularly Japanese and Chinese government bonds, have increased in dollar terms. So that's contributed most of the increase in Malaysia's reserves, in my estimate.
So what kind of macroeconomic data points should we be observing at this point?
Well, for Malaysia's case, the pace of the economic recovery is going to be important to continue to monitor, particularly how much the economy can recover with the relaxation of the MCO. For Malaysia, the external sector is also going to be very important because at the moment that is the main driver of growth. Oil prices obviously very helpful and strong demand for electronic exports. But I think we need to see how domestic demand is faring up because that's really been a major headwind for the economic recovery thus far.
I'm also quite interested, I guess, maybe longer term for like international reserves and things like that. You know, the central bank, do you foresee, you know, them putting money in cryptocurrency?
I think probably not anytime soon. Central banks tend to be very conservative when it comes to investing their FX reserves for good reason. They tend to mainly put it in safe assets such as bonds. Increasingly, more central banks have been allocating a bigger portion of their reserves into equity markets to generate more returns. But once again, that tends to be quite small, less than 10%. I think it's going to take a long time before any central bank would contemplate allocating reserves into cryptocurrency, given the huge volatility of that asset class.
Right. So maybe 5 years, 10 years, then it might be in consideration?
Yes, I think within that time frame.
Now, could we take a look at, I guess, how we gauge international reserves, or what makes a good international reserve benchmark for a particular economy? What is that in your view? Is it the ability to absorb volatility, or are there other factors that contribute towards a good level for a particular country?
Reserves are really seen as an insurance measure. And you know, the big question is whether or not reserves are sufficient to cover a sudden stop in the economy. So, for example, the most obvious measure is import cover, as I mentioned earlier. The minimum is 3 months. So Malaysia has 6 months. So that's more than adequate. The other one is how much reserves can cover short-term foreign debt. Because that's also important. What we tend to see in emerging markets is in times of crisis, if foreign investors want to call in their foreign currency loans, that can what cause trouble for emerging markets. And the rough rule of thumb is whether or not there's sufficient reserves to cover 100% of short-term debt. So in that regard, Malaysia's reserves is well covered in that front. But as I said, I think relative to other economies in the region, Malaysia's reserves is still somewhat on the lower side, relatively speaking.
So then, Khun, you know, in the past few months, oil prices have been relatively high, staying at about $60 per barrel for Brent. And we've also just been removed from the FTSE Russell watch list. Yet the ringgit seems to be remaining weak. Why do you think that's the case?
There's two major drivers for ringgit's weakness, and it's not just ringgit specific, of course. We've seen other currencies in the region weaken as well over the past month or so. The main reason is because of the rising US 10-year bond yield, which has lend support to the US dollar. And you know, that, that's got both positive and negative effects. The positive effect, of course, is that the higher yields in the US is driven by expectations of much stronger US growth. So eventually that will have positive effects on the Malaysian economy. But in the interim, that's helped to boost the US dollar. And as a result, that's led to weakness in the ringgit for the time being. Although I think, you know, in totality, the moves in the ringgit is somewhat muted. And I think it is a temporary adjustment.
But Treasury yields might continue to rise. So what would be like your immediate term outlook for the ringgit?
Yeah, I expect the US 10-year yield to continue to move higher towards 2%. That's given our view that the US economy will expand at 6% this year, which will be the strongest in since 1984. Inflation definitely will move higher. So that justifies US 10-year yields going to at least 2%. However, I think the ongoing support that that will give to the US dollar will be somewhat muted. I think the market is now starting to adjust and get accustomed to higher US yields. So the positive impact that the dollar is going to have is going to be diminished. Now, in terms of the ringgit, while the ringgit has weakened this year, I do expect the ringgit to recover. And my forecast is 4.05 by the end of this year. The main reason for that is I anticipate once the Malaysian economy starts to pick up some steam as vaccinations get rolled out, the COVID cases get under better control and the economy opens up, that's going to see the Malaysian economy recover. Inflows will continue, will start to come back in, and the ringgit will remain supported by higher oil price, as you mentioned, but importantly as well, palm oil prices, which is a major export for Malaysia, has also been holding up quite well. And I think that will eventually provide support to the ringgit.
Thanks so much for joining us this morning, Khun. That was Khun Goh, Head of Asia Research at ANZ Bank, talking to us about the correlation between Bank Negara's international reserves as well as the ringgit, which he expects to hit about 4.05, he said, by the end of the year. What is it at this point in time, Roshan?
Just under 14.14. Just under 4.14. My apologies there. That would be quite a surprise to a lot of us. It's at now 4.1395, and we'd have, as he said, seen the dollar strengthen over the last month or so.
So something that we will be watching closely. But right now we are heading into the 7:30 news bulletin and then taking a look at job trends in the ASEAN region. So be sure to stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.